You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am going to process what I consider to be a pro tip with you all. And it has come out of quite a few videos that I've been reviewing and some conversations I've been having with coaching participants and collective members. And I realized that this is probably not in text or curriculum anywhere, but I think this one word makes a huge difference in our sessions. So that's where we're going. However, before we get there, I want to give you a couple of housekeeping updates. So the first is that we are doing a live podcast event on January 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern. So if you would like to sign up for that, I would love to have you on the live call. It will be a true podcast. So I will do my podcast live, and then I will have Q&A. Non-collective members, non-coaching participants get priority for Q&A. So if you have never interacted with me personally, I would love to have you on the call. The link will be in the show notes, and it will be a Zoom call. So make sure that you have a Zoom account in order to participate. So January 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, in the collective, this is just really kind of, I want to share something with you all. In the collective, every month we have a theme. And as a result of me speaking in Australia, I came back and changed December's theme, and it is now about articulation in 2025 and making sure that we are setting ourselves up for success to better articulate all the things that we do. And that has been a really interesting discussion on our first week in the collective call in December. So just wanted to let you all know that I will probably be diving into some specificity of some of the things that we process together in the podcast as well, because I know that my audience is broad, and I know that although there is some carry over and some overlap, there are podcast listeners that are not part of the collective and coaching. So I want to make sure that all of my people are getting the same information. So I'll probably in the new year start bringing in some of that information as well. And finally, I wanted to just tell you that we are about midway through December as of this episode, and the emails that I have gotten from you all, the things that you have shared with me this year, the stories you've told, the successes and wins that we've celebrated together, the struggles that we've walked through together, this has been by far the most rich and rewarding and fulfilling professional year of my entire life. I was actually talking to Eric about this a couple nights ago. I had no way to predict or know what this was going to look like several years ago when I started this podcast. And I just want you all to know how deeply appreciative and grateful and thankful I am for you all. This has been a dream come true professionally for me. And I'm just really thankful that you all reach out and that you share things with me and you let me walk this professional journey with you, and sometimes the personal journey too. So I've had several of you in various communications tell me that you consider me to be your friend and you feel like you know me so well because you listen to me so often. And that is my favorite part of what I do. It's my favorite element of being a podcast host, is that we feel like we're friends. And I mean that truly. So just wanted to say thank you as we're drawing 2024 to a close. Really, really appreciative and excited for what's to come in 2025. Okay, so now we're on to the pro tip. I wanted to throw out a word, but I'm going to tease the reasoning first. Here's what often happens. We are trained to never do for a child that which they can do for themselves. We are trained to return responsibility. And we are trained to esteem, build, and encourage in the playroom. So with that, we have these approaches, skill-based clinical approaches to interacting. But here's what can happen. A child is struggling in the playroom. It doesn't matter with what. And our responses, because we are adherent to the model and we're esteem building and encouraging and returning responsibility and not doing for a child that which they can do for themselves, it can come across as dismissive and disconnected to what is happening. So let me make sense of what I mean. The child has been struggling and struggling and struggling to tie their shoes or get the tower not to fall over or hit the bullseye with the Velcro. Whatever the scenario is, they are in the throes of frustration and defeat and they feel incompetent. So with that scenario, when we say, oh, you're working really hard, you'll get it. You can do it. You know what to do. You're capable of that. You can do hard things. All of those are true and helpful and adherent. But the child will often get really irritated and push back against those phrases. Why? Because their reality is they can't. They have been trying. They have been failing. They have not done anything. They continue to work at it and they feel defeated and incapable and incompetent. And our phrases can be received as dismissive and disconnected. Like, do you even see what's going on here? Why are you telling me I can do this? I can't do this. And kids will often say that. No, I can't. Or I actually had one quite precocious and eloquent child who said, yeah, you keep saying that and I keep trying and it's not working. I was like, fair enough. Okay, so here's the pro tip. You incorporate the word yet. So let's look at what this would, practically speaking, look like. Oh, you're working so hard. You're going to get it. You keep trying. You just haven't figured it out yet. Or, oh, you haven't quite gotten it to stack yet. If we throw the word yet in, regardless of what the child chooses to do, in other words, they can choose to keep trying. They can choose to give up. Or they can choose to figure it out. And sometimes that's not a choice. Sometimes that's just the outcome. But really, three outcomes there. They keep trying, they give up, or they get it. But look at how, even if they give up, our phrase still applies. Oh, you haven't quite figured out how to do that yet, but you will. Oh, you're frustrated because you haven't been able to stack those yet. There's an implication with that word. And the implication is, even if you feel defeated right now, even if you feel that this is a terrible, horrible, no good, bad day right now, even if you don't think you will ever figure this out, it's just not yet. And that is a little bit of NLP. That is a little bit neuro-linguistic programming. That is a little bit of getting them thinking about the outcome. It's a little bit predictive. There's all kinds of things there. But essentially what you're doing is two things. One, making sure the child doesn't feel like you are oblivious to the struggle. Because when a kid has tried 17 times to do something and you say, you can do it. We mean well, but the child's like, clearly I can't, right? So not only does it acknowledge the struggle, but it also instills the belief in the child that we know that they're capable. And even if in this moment we haven't been able to do what we're trying to do, it will happen at some point. And the beauty of CCPT is when kids have unfinished work, they circle back to it. So even when a child chooses to give up, even when a child chooses to say, I don't want to do this anymore, or I can't do this, or this isn't worth it. I've had kids, I was talking about this on one of the coaching calls. I've had kids say, I'm wasting so much of my playtime. And I think it's so hilarious that when they feel like they're trying to accomplish something that doesn't feel like play to them. And so they put that in a different category. And then they're finally like, I've wasted so much of my playtime. Now I have to stop this so I can go play. I love that. When a child is saying, you know what, I'm done, they will circle back because they know that it's unfinished work. And that is how kids self-actualize, because when you give up, you're not the best version of yourself. And so there's a compulsion to come back and try again, because kids believe that they are in fact capable at the higher level. The self-actualized child is capable, is competent. So they want to become that person and they keep working at it. So when we say yet, there's an expectation and an implication that they will get there, but it helps them not feel frustrated and misunderstood in the moment. So, pro tip I had pop into my brain last week as I was on a coaching call and I made a little note. So here we are talking about it. I hope that that's helpful for you. I hope that you incorporate that in your sessions, and then it will mitigate some of that contentious back and forth when we are trying to instill confidence and capability in kids, and they're in the moment where they completely disagree with you, yet is the buffer. All right. I love y'all. If you want to reach out to me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com, I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to probably next week read some stories, some listener stories that have reached out, just to encourage you and to share in some of the excitement that I get to receive. And I want to pass some of that on to you. Just some success stories, some celebration stories, some journey into being a play therapist stories. I've been kind of stockpiling emails and I want to share some of those with you. So we'll be processing that probably next week. In the meantime, I hope that you have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.